For decades during the mid-20th century, millions of unwed mothers were sent away to have their babies in secrecy and shame. Those babies were often given to couples in closed adoptions, which meant that birth mother and child would lose their shared history permanently. Journalist Gabrielle Glazer tells the story of one such family in a new book called American Baby, which is out today. Gabrielle, welcome, and thank you for writing this book.
Oh, thank you so much.
And you do write it through the eyes of a young woman named Margaret Earle and her biological son, who was born in 1961. What led to their separation?
Well, Margaret got pregnant out of wedlock, and in those days it was actually illegal to have premarital sex in New York State, and her baby was taken from her by a very predatory adoption system that existed in New York but also existed nationwide.
She and her boyfriend George, who would later become her husband, were actually in love. I mean, they were committed to each other, but that didn't matter, did it?
No, it didn't. And despite their best efforts, they did everything they could to try to stay together. They eloped. They tried to convey their fitness as young parents to social workers in New York City. And it didn't matter. It didn't matter to the system, and it didn't matter to their parents either.
And so Margaret was sent away to a place that was, I mean, frankly, it sounded very unpleasant. Tell me about this home for unwed mothers that she went to.
The maternity home was a large old estate that was repurposed to house dozens of girls at any time. They were really kept under lock and key. Their diaries were read, their outgoing letters were read, their incoming letters were read. They had a strict regimen of chores to which each pregnant girl was assigned. They were watched as if they were toddlers at a preschool.
And when the baby finally came, they were taken to the hospital. They were forced to sign these papers. And then, I mean, the records were sealed. Once Margaret and those other girls let go of that baby, it was by design that she and others would never know what happened to her son.
Yes, absolutely. This was a system that had been established pretty much nationwide in the 20s and 30s. You would seal an original birth certificate and then issue an amended birth certificate that listed the child's new name and his adoptive parents as his original mother and father. And the theory was that it would protect the child from the taint of illegitimacy, protect the mother from the legacy of her alleged wantonness, but most importantly, it would protect the adoptive parents from anybody ever coming to interfere with their newly created family.
And this was happening at a profound scale across the United States. How common was it? And what was happening in the culture of our country at that time?
Oh, that's a really great question. The sexual revolution was simmering in the years after the war. We don't really think about it then because it's, you know, sort of tacked on to the late 1960s. But after the war, soldiers were coming home having not been celibate during their service. They were unlikely to want to be celibate with their stateside girlfriends. The culture itself was shifting dramatically. There was a new middle class that was exploding in the suburbs, and for the first time, young kids had privacy that they had never had before. They had rec rooms and their own suburban bedrooms, and really, pretty importantly, the backseat of the family Buick. So the rate of unwed pregnancies skyrocketed between 1946 and the late 1960s. And there was no abortion. That was illegal. There was no birth control, even for married couples in some states until the late 1960s. And there was certainly no sex education. So all of those factors combined to lead to about 3.5 million young women getting pregnant out of wedlock.
Wow. Well, can I tell you something?
Yes.
My mother was one of them.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I got a phone call from her 2.5 years ago, and she asked me if I was sitting down because I had a half-sister that was born in 1970 that few people in the world had ever known about. And she told me that she went to a home to have a baby, just like Margaret did, And even last night when I was talking to her about it, 50 years later, when she told me about the day that she left her baby at the hospital, she was crying. I mean, her pain through this process was so incredibly deep all these years later. And I just wonder what you think the impact of all those years of secrecy are when you think about the women that you've spoken with.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing that story. I'm really moved by it. And when I heard the story about Margaret and David, and it's so interesting because David himself, when he told me that he had found his birth mother, that was the first thing he asked me, "Are you sitting down? I found my birth mother." And it only happened because he had taken a DNA test that his wife had given him for his birthday. And
the same thing happened in my family. That is exactly how my mother found her daughter.
And when he first told me, and I think maybe, I'm sure your mother, you know, might feel this way as well, but he sort of had this faraway look in his eyes and as if, well, she probably doesn't think about me or maybe even remember me. And I just thought to myself, well, that's impossible. And I was absolutely convinced that somewhere David Rosenberg's mother was profoundly, daily thinking about him, wondering about his well-being, his health, what his life had turned out to be like. And it turned out that I was right.
She had been looking.
Yeah, she had been looking. She had doggedly, indefatigably left medical records. Once she and George had gotten married and she thought that this information was reaching him.
But it wasn't. And all of this could have been avoided if those birth records weren't sealed for essentially all eternity. I mean, where do we stand now in the effort to open them up and to make sure that, like, these things don't happen and you don't really have to be ashamed, so ashamed that you should hide your face for the rest of your life because you had a baby out of wedlock?
It's such a powerful word that you use right now, shame, because it's something that these women carry with them. It was put upon them by their families, by their religious communities, by society in general, and it is a ludicrous anachronism. And it's really complicated, and in only 10 states are the records absolutely open. In other words, adoptees have open access to their original birth certificates with their original identities. 2 states, Kansas and Alaska, never sealed the records. So in the other 38, there are either restrictions or they are absolutely closed. And people have to rely on private investigators. They have to rely on DNA testing, which is really hit or miss and is certainly not a substitute for having access to one's original vital document, that piece of paper that tells you who you are.
Gabrielle Glaser's new book is American Baby, A Mother, a Child, and the Shadow History of Adoption. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.